You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Okay, so segueing into the sermon. So we're in the middle of a series on Jeremiah, prophet to God's people in crisis. Jeremiah was a prophet to God's people during Israel's greatest crisis. Now, today's message is entitled The Potter's House. Now, I know some of us are going through some hard times, and we're trying to figure out how to deal with some things that we're going through. The question we often ask ourselves is there any purpose to our hardship and suffering? How can I see God in the midst of suffering? So let's see what the Bible says through Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 12. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 12. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." Verse 9. "And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your action." But they will reply, "It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts." Now, this passage, first of all, tells us that God is the potter and we are the clay. You know, I can't underestimate how revolutionary the invention of pottery is to the history of humankind. Before the invention of pottery, we were only wanderers, following our food supply. It was basically hand-to-mouth existence, but the invention of pottery made it possible to store things and carry things, and this made it possible to stay in one place for a while because stuff like grain and water can be carried and stored. I mean, imagine a world where there's no pan or pots or no bowls, no dishes, no buckets, no jug, no plastic water containers or boxes or paper bags or nothing to store anything. Life would be reduced to what we could imagine, what we could manage with our hands on a single day. And pottery actually made it possible for community and civilization to develop. It's an immensely useful invention. But it's not just useful. Each pottery is unique because it's made by the potter's hand and beautiful in its own way. Each pottery is an art form. There's no two alike. You know, nowadays, I think we put pottery on a shelf as a work of art, and we see them in museums. In many ways, sometimes usefulness and art have been separated. But in Jeremiah's time, function and beauty were integrated. The potter made things functional and beautiful. And so God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And Jeremiah listens and goes to the potter's house and observes him working on the potter's wheel. And this is what Jeremiah saw. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord comes to him and says, and the Lord says, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." God is the potter, and we are the clay, and he forms us. You know, this is not the first time in the Bible God says this. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." The word for formed here is the same word for potter, the one who forms. And so, and we heard this also in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, when God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God is the potter who forms us. He forms us and shapes us. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he is the potter and we are the clay? First, it means that you and I are not just a random accident in a universe. We are formed and shaped by God to be the way he wants us to be for his purpose. There are lots of people who believe that there's no purpose to our existence. And we're just a product of random mutation and the survival of the fittest, or that something powerful set us in motion in creation, but that power is not involved anymore. But this is not what the scripture tells us. Just as there's meaning for the potter in making the pot, there is meaning to our existence, and there is the meaning to the form that we take. God is working on us and interacting with us. We're actually a product of God's hands forming us. Secondly, this means that we're not only created for a purpose, for a usefulness, but we're also a work of art. There are no two pots alike, as I said, even when they're created by the same potter. He didn't use some kind of a robot to build us, some kind of a machine to build us. He made us with his hand. God's fingerprints are all over us. This is a very personal, intimate, and unique thing. God works in us through and through by mixing all the ingredients, kneading it, and working it. It's very far from this impersonal cookie-cutter way of manufacturing. See, that means that everything about us is meant to be the way it is. God made us unique, and God made us beautiful. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and go, "God made you unique and beautiful." I never usually make you do this, so do it now, all right? God made you unique, and God made you beautiful, all right? God doesn't create crap. He doesn't. He creates beauty. He created us in his image. He gave us life. You know, it doesn't really matter what you think about yourself. The reality is that you are beautiful because you are God's handiwork. Now, third thing this means is that we are in the process of being formed. We're not done yet. God's not done with us. We're on the wheel of the potter as he is forming us, and that's what life is all about. You know, I know sometimes you and I look at our lives and we lose hope and we feel disappointed at ourselves or maybe the circumstances that we're in. And we have a tendency to feel that this is all it is and this is all there is going to be. You know, I was talking to a young girl and she was very firm about who she was and who she will be. In fact, she saw herself as formed and static. And I reminded her that we're all in the process of being formed. We ain't done yet. We could be molded into someone very different than who we are now. In fact, I've seen a lot of people change in ways that are just utterly unrecognizable. Now, while we are clay being molded by God, the potter, the passage also says that we are marred. While the potter is working on the clay, sometimes the clay gets marred. And that's the reality we see in this world, right? I mean, we're not how God intended us to be. The clay gets marred. The word for mar also means corrupt or spoiled or just plain old messed up. And we are people in many ways who are messed up. As we say in New City, we're more messed up than we think we are. We have imperfections that makes our lives leak and unable to hold water or wine, and we're wobbly and we're unstable. You know, one commentator, a guy named John Bright, said this: the clay can frustrate the potter's intention and cause him to change it, as the quality of the clay determines what the potter can do with it. So the quality of a people determines what God will do with them. You know, God is not a sovereign forming us without regard to our will and our action. The potter needs good clay to form us. But the problem is that we're marred, that we're messed up. We're not so good. And sometimes we're marred because of our sins, our rebellion. We have walked away from God. We have walked away from his forming hands. We think we are the potter and we are the clay. We think we control our life and we shape our life and we determine our own destiny. We think we can control our own usefulness, our own beauty, our own value without God. And this is an illusion. We don't control, you and I don't control where we were born, who we were born to, when we were born, what happens tomorrow, when you're going to get sick, and when we're going to die. I mean, that's a lot of stuff we can't control. And I can go on and on. There are way too many things we don't have control over. And we really have to come to the realization that you and I are not the potter. We don't control our destiny. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try hard or try to, you know, somehow doing that is bad. But what I'm saying is that we cannot mold ourselves. When we make ourselves the potter or make other people or make circumstances on our lives our potter, that's how we end up getting marred. Now, we have a tendency to define sin only sometimes in terms of our personal holiness and our devotion to God and our personal integrity and purity. I think this is a really important aspect of it. But if you look at the book of Jeremiah, that's only a part of our sin. Our sins include the corporate and systemic sin of injustice, the corporate and systemic sin of not loving our neighbors. You know, when everyone is out for him or herself only, our community is marred. Now, sometimes we feel marred because of something someone else has done to us. We feel deep pain because of what they have done. Maybe someone has done us wrong, and we've been paying the consequences of their wrong. And maybe someone who was supposed to love us and protect us didn't love us or protect us. And oftentimes we sometimes have this negative self-view because we've been trampled so often by others. And I want you to know that you are beautiful to God. What others have done to you does not define you. That's not your fault. You may feel marred, but you are not marred by others' sin. But I know for some of you, it's led to a lot of other issues. But I want you to know that there is good news. And here's the good news. God never gives up on us. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3, the Message translation says this: the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. God doesn't give up. Amen? The creative work of the potter simply starts again. God doesn't throw away the clay. He wants to restart the process of forming us. That's the hope that we have in God. Now, what does this submitting to the power, to the potter, look like in a practical way? It starts with repentance. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 to 10, it says this: if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. You see this interaction between the potter and the clay, right? I mean, if the clay, the people of God, repents of its evil, the passage says, then I will relent and not inflict the disaster I had planned, and vice versa. But what the potter does depends on what the clay does. And the call here is to repentance. This is not just a repentance of our personal sins. It's the repentance of the sins of the people of God, sins of injustice, sins of idolatry, sins of walking away from the hands of the potter. It's interesting that if we are marred, if we're messed up, but if we repent and stay in the hand of the potter, he forms us. He continues to form us. We don't actually have to be perfect. The thing that is being formed is never perfect, right? That's why it's being formed. As long as we are in the hands of the potter, that's good. God's not calling you to be perfect. God's calling you to just come back into the hands of the potter. You know, if you look at the entire book of Jeremiah, the theme of the book is repentance. It's constant call to repent. Come back, turn back, turn your heart to God. Examine your heart. Go deep into your sins, even the sins beneath your sins. Not just about your personal sin, but the sins also of the community, sins of omission, sins of failing to love our neighbors as ourselves, sins of supporting systems that are unjust, sins of seeking other than God for life and meaning. God is calling us to constantly look to ourselves and repent. Now, sometimes submitting to the potter means that he presses in and it hurts. There's pain. God sometimes disciplines us and lets us face the consequences of our decision. In case of Judah, God was about to unleash destruction upon Jerusalem and Judah so that they will repent and come back to God. He knew that the only way to get his people back was let them go through suffering in exile in the pit of their own making. See, the Bible is pretty clear that God disciplines us for our own good. As we talked about last week, sometimes God lets us hit bottom so that we can see up and come back to the potter's hands. The reality is that this often is a very painful process. Maybe you're going through some pain, difficulties, hardship, and it's been really hard. And I believe that the pain that we experience is not something that God has caused. The broken world has caused that pain. The violence of others have caused it. The sins of our fathers have caused it. The injustice of the world have caused it. Our sinful nature caused it. Our self-indulgence caused it. God did not cause our pain. It's important to know that. Yet, God can use even the result of sin, whether it's ours or others, to shape us. God can use suffering to bring us back to his forming hands. And that's what the New Testament church believed. It's all over the New Testament. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 10, it says this, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Amen. Discipline is often how God forms us in his hand. And it's painful. You know, here's what James said. James in chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. He says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Praise God. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy. When you have trials, when you have hardship, because God is working on you. God is forming you through those troubles. I know this is hard to take, but you know, the Hebrew passage that we just read, you know, the context of that passage is about Hebrews who are suffering for doing the right thing. And they're not even talking about suffering for doing the wrong thing. Most of us, we suffer because we do the wrong thing. But these people were suffering because they were doing the right thing. And yet, the author of Hebrews says, consider discipline from God. That in that suffering, God can do something. We are called to take hardship, pain, and difficulties as discipline. It's not pleasant at the time, but it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, when I was being discipled by my youth pastor when I was very young, he asked me one time how I was doing. And I told him I was doing really well, and I was. This was about 3 years after I got serious about my walk with the Lord, and I was doing really well. I was a senior. I got accepted to the school that I wanted to go, and I had my senioritis, and I was just coasting, right? And he said, you know, you should pray for hardship. He said, what? No thanks, I said. I remember him telling me that it is in the hardship that God does his best work of forming us and growing us to be closer to him. You know, I remember, because I respected him and what he said, and I had this sense that maybe he was right, I remember I reluctantly pray that God would continue to grow me closer to him. And if I had to go through hardship for that I'd be willing. You know, it's not, I didn't want to pray for hardship because I knew, you know, I didn't want hardship, but it's like, I want to get closer to you, and if I had to go through that, I'd be willing, oh Lord. And hardship didn't come immediately, but it came later, and I have to say that it grew. It grew me. The potter forms me through hardship, and especially when I decide to get out of my comfort zone and just kind of go for it, as we talked about last week, as we run with the horses, he forms us. You You know, my sister-in-law, Jennifer, suffered from a rare blood disease called aplastic anemia, similar to leukemia, for about 15 years. Her platelet count was super low, and she had no energy even to go up the stairs. And from time to time, she was hospitalized when her platelet count was so low that there was actually a risk of just spontaneously bleeding to death. And she went through several treatments, causing a lot of suffering. But they finally found a matching bone marrow donor, and she got a bone marrow transplant. And she's cured now. She's doing great. I praise God for her. And I talked to her about her experience of suffering for 15 years. And she kept on saying over and over again that every second of that suffering actually brought her closer to God. She said she had nothing else to rely on. She had to rely on God no matter what. There was no security in the things of this world. She had to submit to God and learn to trust Him, whether it's life or death. And the whole ordeal actually helped her to become the person that God wanted her to be. And I know this is really hard to hear if you're in the middle of an illness or undue hardship in your life. But we have to learn to let go and place ourselves in a potter's wheel, in the hand of the potter who shapes us into whatever he deems is best for us. You know what that means? That our lives, our destiny, our purpose, everything, all whatever, is surrendered to God and say, God, I just want to be formed by you into the person you think is best, into the vessel you think is best. It's not about my dreams. It's not about what I want. It's not about if I only had that, if I could only find that success. It's not about using you. It's just about being formed by you for your purpose, not mine. And so we give up everything. We are called to surrender our comfort, our rights, even our life to Him. Now, we have to remember that while this teaching is applicable to us individually, this message was to the community of the people of God. And this message now is for the kingdom of God. And the current manifestation of the kingdom is the church. And God is saying He is in the process of building this church. Ain't that great? We're called to repent as church constantly and be willing to endure hardship. We're called to rejoice even in midst of hardship. We're called to endure hardship as discipline. You know, every time our church as a community goes through a difficult time, it is an opportunity to be shaped by God and to grow. Now, this is really hard to do, right? But where do we get the power to do this, to live like this? We have to see how far God went in order to not give up on us. And I think we have the advantage of actually having more knowledge and revelation than Jeremiah and God's people at that time, because we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that God loves us so much that He did not give up on us. He came down in the person of Jesus. He suffered with us and experienced the full extent of the pain of humanity. The scripture says Jesus experienced every pain and every temptation that you and I experienced. And on the cross, He became marred so that we might be able to go back to the will of the potter. He paid the price we could never pay so that you and I can be redeemed back into the potter's hands, to be formed to be His bride, the church, and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and manifest the power of the kingdom of God. You know, if you really think about it, God calls us through His love back to His hands. He wants us back into this relationship with Him. And when we realize His sacrificial love for us, we realize how much he gave of himself for us, for you and for me, so we can be back into the potter's hands. That's when we know that there could be joy even in midst of suffering. There could be joy even in midst of hardship, because God has us. And he who gave himself for us has a plan for us that's greater than we can ever imagine. And when we trust him, it enables us to trust the great potter who has given us this amazing grace. And it is this grace, it is this love that empowers us and frees us to submit ourselves, to have the power to submit ourselves to the great potter. Remember, God is calling you. God is calling each and every one of you back to his hands. And he wants to continue to form. But it is a call into your life. He's not going to force his hands upon you. That's not the kind of God we have. We have a God who loves us. And he calls us. He says, come back. I got so much more for you than you can ever imagine. I love you more than you can ever imagine. I know it's messy. I know it's more. But I have a pot. I have a vessel that I have designed for your life. And it's useful and it's beautiful. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the potter. And we are the clay. We thank you that we are not the potter, even though we've tried. And Lord, we just mess things up. But Lord, we want to go back to your hands. And you have enabled us to go back to your hands by your sacrifice, by redeeming us, by paying for our sins. And we thank you for that, oh Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace, how you never gave up on us. Lord, I gave up. My parents gave up. My friends gave up. So many people just gave up around me. But you never gave up. And we thank you for that. And you loved us so much that you came down and suffered and gave yourself for us and became marred for us. We thank you for that, oh Lord. And I pray that the power of this gospel will compel us to repent and put ourselves into the potter's wheel, so that as we're being formed, even in hardship, we will rejoice and be formed to be what you call us to be and do what you call us to do in its function and beauty. Thank you, O Lord. Guide us, O Lord. Lead us, O Lord, to the potter's wheel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.